Corinthians chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and if you would stand with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you're able. If you're not able, don't worry about it, but if you're able, we'll stand, we'll read a couple of verses, and I'll have you to be seated. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'll give you just a few minutes to get there. I get accused every now and then of going too fast, so I thought Southerners was pretty slow. Maybe I'm a fast Southerner, I don't know, but I'll try to slow down. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 3 with me. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by of God. For as the suffering of Christ abounds in us, so our consolation is also abounded by Christ. Lord, bless this morning, we ask, Lord. And Lord, I know I sure can mess up things. I can mess up preaching. I can mess up what you would have done here today. But Lord, I know there's something you want done. I know we didn't just meet here this morning just to say we went to church. Lord, I know without you this morning, the service will just be vain. The music's been good. The fellowship's been good. Lord, now we need preaching. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me. I pray I'd not hinder what you need to have done here today. Lord, you know what you'd have done. Maybe there's someone here this morning, Lord, that's lost. Maybe there's someone here this morning that just needs comfort. Lord, no matter what the needs are, Lord, we know you can meet them, and we ask you today to meet with us. Lord, just help us. Help us to leave here in just a short while, rejoicing that we came to church. And Lord, this morning we ask you, if you would, Holy Spirit, do a work that only you can, speak to hearts. Lord, just help us today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I love the holiday season, I really do. Some of the things I love about the holiday season is, especially Christmas, as Christ is talked about more that, at this time of year than he is any other time. And as I said last week, maybe not so much here today, but usually Christmas is time when folks will go to church when they won't go any other time. Christmas and Easter is usually the two biggest times that people will go, and so... Jesus' name's uplifted more. I love family get-togethers during holidays. There's a lot of things I love about it. Getting to visit family, seeing those loved ones you hadn't saw in a while, and spending time. Well, I'll tell you something else about the holiday season, especially this time of year. It can be a depressing time. It really can. And I believe there's several reasons for that. Of course, one reason, I believe, and one of the biggest reasons, is sometimes we have a tendency, people has a tendency to overspend this month and spend what they don't have. Boy, you want to get a real good case of depression, just go ahead and spend over your budget. Then I'll start worrying about how in the world you're going to pay it back. And so it can be a real discouraging time, and I hope nobody's did that here at our church. I know sometimes as human beings we have a tendency to do that. I said it the other night, the statistics may have changed, but many years ago I'd read a statistic where January was the number one month of the year for suicides. And it was all contributed to people overspending in December. And so I just know this. I know Christmas can be exciting times. It should be. And the New Year's coming up and should be a time of rejoicing. By the way, if we can't rejoice as Christians, who in the world can? We know the true meaning of what Christmas is all about. We know it's not about the gift and all about the gift. And we know it's about more than that. But if we can't celebrate the holidays, who can? You would seem to think that this time of year that Christians would be at the happiest, because this time of year is a reminder of just how good God has been to us, and Jesus' birth, of course, and then a brand new year is about to start. And so last Sunday in the year, and you're here in church on Sunday morning, congratulations to that. But this morning, I want to preach to you on this subject, comfort. Comfort. I believe that's something that we all need as Christians, as human beings. I believe that that we need at times. We need to be comfort. We need to have comfort. And so I said this can be a discouraging time if we focus on putting everything on the commercial part of it. But I said there's a lot more to these holidays than the commercial part of it. Now in our text, we see a word here. Look back with me at verse number... Well, let's just read the whole text again. Blessed be God, even the Father of our mercy, Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort. God is the God of all comfort. And it says in verse 4, who comforted us in all our tribulations. You hear this morning, you say, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what anyone's going through, but I know God is a God of comfort. I know where comfort comes from, and I know where you can get comfort this morning, and how you can have comfort from your problems and whatever may arise in your life. And we see that word comfort. We should be very familiar with it. If anybody ought to be familiar with it, it ought to be you and I as Christians, as born-again believers. By the way, if you're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'm not for sure I'm saved. I think I could be. I possibly could be. I might be. You know what? If I had that, if I thought that way this morning, I'll be honest with you, I would just go ahead and decide this will be the day I'm going to get saved. Sometimes I'll talk to people when I'm out knocking doors, and sometimes people will tell me, well, preacher, I think I got saved when I was a young person. And I have yet to see when I continue in the conversation with them and I say, well, tell me what you did. I have yet to see a right answer for that. I always hear stuff like, well, when I was a little boy or I was a little girl, maybe I was at vacation Bible school, maybe I was at a camp. But I remember we went forward. Me and some of my friends, we went forward. I remember the preacher invited us, gave the invitation, and we went forward. Well, you know, that's fine. And this morning, I would hope this everybody could come to the altar, especially if you're not saved, but wouldn't want to see you get up and leave lost. And that's what happened. That has happened at a lot of invitations at Bible camps, vacation Bible school, and even in church services. It's possible to have walked through those doors today and walked down here at invitation time and kneel down and get up and walk out and still be as lost as you were, if you was lost before you got here. Because there's so many teachings in this world, but there's only one true way to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. But the world's philosophy is you live right and you live good. And if your goodness outweighs your badness, when you die, you'll go to heaven. And folks, that's as false religion as religion can get false. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one, that for all have sinned and come short in the glory of God. None of us is going to live a kind of life that's deserving of heaven. And if we could have done that, and we could have lived that way, Jesus Christ would have never had to die on the cross. He would have never had to suffer one bit for you and I. If we could do that. If we could have bought our way into heaven by the sacrifices that they did in the Old Testament, the sacrificial laws they had, if that would have got us into heaven, the Messiah, Jesus, would have never had to come to earth and die. But it couldn't get him to heaven. And this morning you hear and you say, preacher, I think I might, if I died, I might go to heaven. Not 100% for sure, but I'm 99%. I wouldn't be 99% without wanting to be 100%. The Bible says that you can know today that you're going to heaven. There's no ifs, and buts about it. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, and if I didn't have that verse memorized, I would memorize it. I would write it down. I would mark it in my Bible. I would have it there so I could show people what God says about salvation. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God doesn't say, I want you to just, Rod, Nally, I want you to just guess about it. Boy, that'll give you a miserable life right there. Wondering if I'm going to go to heaven or am I going to go to hell, that'll make a person miserable. God made it where He wants us to know today that when we die, we're going to go to heaven. See, there's no doubt, I believe the majority of First Baptist Church, I believe the majority of this church is saved people. R.G. Lee said about the Southern Baptists back when R.G. Lee was the head of the convention down there and he was president of the Southern Baptists, he said he believed 80% of them was going to hell. I'll be honest as I can be. I'm not going to make that judgment call as far as that percentage of our people going to hell, because I don't believe that. I believe a lot of our folks are saved. I believe most of our church are saved. But folks, if there's one person that's lost here today, wouldn't it have been worth having church today if that one person would get saved? We don't want to embarrass you today. And I believe there's been times when people would have got saved, but they wouldn't come to the altar. They wouldn't walk the aisle because they was afraid that someone would see them. By the way, you're here this morning, you say, well, preacher, I'd go to the altar more than I go, but I'm afraid somebody would see me. That, folks, can I tell you something? God, what's important is God sees you. It ain't important what people sees. What's important is what God sees. Used to, and this was before I ever got called to preach, I was a new Christian. I had been in church for about a year. And I thought you were supposed to go to the altar every time they gave an invitation. And so I did. I just get up and go. It didn't matter what the preacher was preaching. I was usually doing wrong. Whatever that preacher preached on, I usually needed it. I'll never forget when he preached on reading your Bible and I hadn't been reading mine. I remember when he preached on giving and I wasn't giving. Boy, I tell you what, feeling low, feeling like crawling under a pew, I felt that way a lot of times. But I remember always going to the altar. I remember a man coming up to me one time and saying, brother, you must be the sorriest sinner in this church. He said, because every time they give an altar call, you're at the altar. What are you doing down there? Are you that sorry? A man asked me this, and I said, I'm praying for you. Well, that ended that. He never said anything else. But I remember even after the point of where I went to growing and I started growing and doing the things faster. Sometimes I'd go to the altar just to pray for somebody that's lost. I mean, and that's not to, I'm sort of getting off my sermon. Let me get back on my sermon this morning. But if you're lost this morning, you need to get saved today. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. Don't put that away. And now I'm going to get on. I believe this sermon was written to save people this morning. And I believe it's just God wanting to show us all this morning. He wants to give us comfort. He wants us to have comfort. That word we see, the word comfort, I said it ought to be a word that we're familiar with. We get way too depressed as Christians. We get way too discouraged as Christians sometimes. And we get down and out. We get the blues sometimes too. But as Christians, we ought to understand a little bit about this thing called comfort. Comfort is of God. Comfort is of God and it's for you and I. And so in our text here, that word comfort defined means this. It means to enlighten, to relieve from pain, to strengthen the mind when depressed or troubled. Boy, I don't know, but I like that statement. To help us when we're depressed or troubled. But here's one definition of it. To give strength. To give strength. God wants to comfort us. He wants to renew us. He wants to give us strength this morning. You hear this morning, you say, well, preacher, I tell you what, I'm just weak this morning. I got to be honest, I'm weak. I know we get physically weak. Well, I guarantee you this morning I'm speaking to a lot of folks. This morning you're physically weak. You're wore out. Christmas has been fun, the parties, the trees, the gifts, but the real fact about it is you wore down, ain't you? It's wore you out. And the truth is, I like that strength. And God says, I believe when He talks about comfort, it's just not a physical strength, but it's a spiritual strength He wants to give us. We can become spiritually weak. You know that? We can get spiritually weak. And I believe that that God here, He wants us to have comfort. And the word means to strengthen. And it's because we all get down and out and get tired. All of us. But sometimes because of adversaries in our lives, we get weak. Sometimes it's because of the adversaries and the problems in our life, we get weak. But we can learn this morning how to get help. Listen to this statement. If you didn't come for no other reason to get one statement, this is a statement. You listen to this statement. I love it. I wrote it down. Lighthouses are built by shipwrecked sailors. You understand that? Lighthouses are built by shipwrecked sailors. Sometimes we understand comfort a little bit better by having problems. Sometimes when adversaries comes into our life, and we have adversaries, and we all do, sometimes because of those adversaries, we can understand comfort a little bit better. And remember, comfort gives strength. It gives us strength. Now, discouragement. And I said we all get discouraged. Let's be honest this morning. How many of us, we've been discouraged this year? Raise your hand. How many have been discouraged in the last month? Raise your hand. How many has been discouraged in the last week at least one time? Raise your hand. We get discouraged, don't we? We get down and out. And so discouragement, listen to what it does. It's like a thief. Discouragement is like a thief. It steals. Preacher, what does it steal? It steals your joy. It steals your peace. It steals your zeal. It steals your contentment. You know, the Bible wants us to be content too, but we sometimes, because of discouragement, we get discontented. It brings friends with it. Anytime you got discouragement, it brings friends with it. What's the friends? Listen to me. The friends it brings with it: hopelessness, no hope. By the way, folks, can I tell you something? There is hope. But it brings with that, it brings self-pity. By the way, self-pity is one of those sins that's not talked about a whole bunch, but we as Christians, if we don't watch it, we can get a real case of self-pity. Self-pity is nothing more than looking at ourselves and saying, look, I deserve better than this. Poor old me syndrome. We don't watch it, we can get that. Poor old me syndrome. People just don't understand what I have to go through. And self-pity comes along with discouragement and joy and peace and zeal. Depression comes along with discouragement, being depressed. Doubt comes along with discouragement. And even sometimes bitterness. Bitterness. By the way, I'm not preaching on bitterness today. I will make a statement or two about it. But if I was preaching on bitterness today, and if we was truthful about it, I'll guarantee there would be a percentage of First Baptist Church, if they was truthful, has bitterness. It's easy. Bitterness is easy to set up. Bitterness can be self-inflicted. It can be inflicted by others. It can be something where somebody's made you mad years ago. You never got over it. Could be somebody made you mad last week. Bitterness sets up when anger is not dealt with properly. By the way, there's a way to deal with anger. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. But all these friends, they come along with discouragement. Discouragement is dissatisfaction. Sometimes it can be dissatisfied with the past. Maybe you've had a rough year this year. Maybe you say, well, preacher, boy, this has been a rough year. If I had a year to live over with again, it sure wouldn't be this year. Maybe you've been dissatisfied with the past. Maybe something happened, maybe years ago, and you still ain't got over it. And you didn't discourage and all these other things because of something that happened. It can be distaste for the present. Not only can it be dissatisfied with the past, but it also can be distaste for the present. I mean, I don't like the situation we're living in. I don't like the circumstances. I don't like what's going on today in my life. And it can be distress for the future. I dread what the future has in store for us. Folks, can I tell you something? I don't dread what the future has in store for us. As Christians, God's been awfully good to us. I tell you, this past year, I know some of you, you've had a lot of things, you've suffered a lot of things this year, but you know what? It could always be worse. It can always be worse. I mean, it ain't hard to look around and find someone who's worse off than we are. By the way, that very thought right there will help you deal with self-pity. How in the world can I feel sorry for myself when others are going through a lot worse than I've ever faced? But that's what discouragement can bring along with it. It can be a dissatisfaction with the past, a distaste for the present, and a distress for the future. It makes an ingratitude for the blessings of yesterday. It makes the ingratitude of my life where I'm not as thankful as I should be and for the blessings of yesterday. It will cause an unawareness of God in one's life. It will cause an unawareness of God in one's life. It'll get our minds focused off the things that ought to be focused on. You're here today and you say, preacher, I'm a little bit discouraged. Get focused on Jesus. Preacher, you don't understand. I'm a little bit bitter. Get focused on Jesus. You know, there's a key. As Christians, we ought to focus on Jesus, and we ought to stay focused on Him. And I know you say, well, preacher, I know that's hard to do. Sometimes it's hard to do, but now we need to understand comfort so we can have it and so we can help others. The Bible says in verse 4, who comforted us in all our tribulation that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. God gives us comfort so we can comfort others. And so you hear this morning, you say, preacher, why do I need to be comforted? Why do I need new strength? Let's just use that definition, new strength. So you can help others have strength. So you can help others. And so as Christians, we need to understand that God wants us to have comfort so we can have it and help others to have it. Now, back in our text this morning, verse 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy, and the God of all comfort. You notice the Bible says He's not just God of comfort, but He's the God of all comfort. David found comfort by the way of encouraging himself in the Lord. By encouraging himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel 36. David encouraged himself in his Lord, in the Lord, in his God. By the way, if you go back there and read that, because of lack of time, I'm not going back there, but in 1 Samuel, if you go back there and read it, man, everything was happening. Everything bad was just happening to David. His own people were threatening of stoning him and killing him. I'm talking about his own people. And the Bible said David encouraged himself in the Lord. Well, folks, as far as I know, nobody's threatening to kill us. It'd be pretty bad if your own family disowned you and decided they was going to stone you. We'd all feel pretty distressed over that, wouldn't we? We'd get discouraged there, wouldn't we? That's basically what happened to David, and the Bible says he encouraged himself in the Lord. Because you know why? He knew God was a God of comfort. This morning you'd be saying, well, preacher, I tell you what, I'm going through some things. Well, God is a God of comfort, and He wants to comfort you. And so we find that here in verse 3 of all comfort. Now let me tell you three principles or a few principles this morning about comfort and I'll be done. First of all, I believe this is a time of year that we need to understand a little bit about comforts because I believe the holidays will get you down and out. I believe they'll discourage you. And I believe we need to remember that God's a God of comfort. He wants us to be comforted. Number one, God is our reason for comfort. He's our resource. He's our resource. God is our resource. David found himself encouraging himself in the Lord because he knew God was a God of comfort. And the reason I know that David knew this, we look at some of the other writings of David. And how in the world can we read his writings without mentioning Psalms 23? Go there with me if you would. Psalms 23. We have preached that so many times at funerals. Probably the most well-known Psalms of them all. Maybe the best known scripture of the whole Bible, Psalms 23. Let's read it together with me. Read with me if you would. And look at the comfort in these verses that David penned. He says in verse number 1, the Lord is my shepherd. Say that with me if you would, please. The Lord is my shepherd. You see what? David knew who his comfort was. He knew it was God. He knew the role of a shepherd in sheep. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. He's my shepherd. This morning, again, what I asked you, is he your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? And David continues on. He said, I shall not want. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not going to want. There's no want in me because I'm contented because the Lord is my shepherd. You see, sometimes discontentment, discouragement, and all that can come from, we just don't get satisfied. By the way, can I tell you something? Material things won't make you satisfied. If you got material things for Christmas, God bless you. I'm glad you did. You got a shirt, tie, new car. Anybody get a new car? If you got those things, good. I'm glad you did. But that's not going to satisfy you. Material things, wealth won't satisfy you. David didn't depend on that for his encouragement. By the way, David had all that. He would have had the best of the best of the best of the best. And he still was discouraged. Boy, there's people may be here this morning thinking, well, preacher, if I just had $10,000 in my bank account, I'd be okay. You wouldn't. Might be okay for a while, maybe for a day or two, but I promise you, you're not going to find comfort in that. Money's not going to comfort you. We'll have Russell Anderson preaching for us in February. I encourage you to come hear him. He's a millionaire. It's gave millions away. But I promise you one thing. He'll tell you that there's not comfort in money. Not long term. Not the kind of comfort we get from God. And David said back in Psalms 23, I got to read it. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is our resource for comfort. David found it this morning. You can find it. You're here today and you say, preacher, I got to be honest. I've got a lot of problems. Well, let me tell you, God is a source of comfort. He is our source for comfort. God comforts us. He's our resource. He's where we can get comfort from. And so, by the way, at funerals, we read the Word of God. We try to present Scripture. We try to comfort people with the Word of God. There's comfort in the Word of God this morning. If you say, well, preacher, I sure need some comfort in this time of year. Right there it is. It's in the Bible. It's of God, and God gives it to us. And so God is the resource for comfort. And He does it by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. Take your Bibles this morning and go with me to John, book of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Go to the book of John, chapter number 14. Jesus says, John chapter 14, verse number 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Look down with me, if you would, at verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said. So He comforts us by His Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Comforter. Look with me, if you would, over at chapter 15 and verse number 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I'll send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, He shall testify of me. Ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So we see Jesus says, I'm going away, but the Father's not going to leave you comfortless. He's sending the Comforter to you, and the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. You may be here today, and you may say, preacher, I get discouraged a whole lot. Well, and if you're saved and you've been born again, there's no reason to stay discouraged. We may get discouraged, but there's no reason to stay discouraged. Take your Bibles and look with me at Ephesians chapter number 4, and I'll show you one reason sometimes as Christians we can get discouraged. And we saw that the Holy Spirit, He's the Comforter. He comes into one's life and He teaches us. Look with me, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. So the Bible says, grieve not. That word grieve means to hurt. You see it just a few times in the Bible, and sometimes you see it as applying to God. In Genesis chapter 6, it grieved God that He created the world. It grieved Him at His heart because mankind did wrong. Wickedness had entered. You can go back to Genesis and read that chapter 6. But the Bible here says, grieve not God's Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy when it comes to comfort. God wants to comfort us. He is comfort. He wants to comfort. He does it by His Holy Spirit. He sends the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. And sometimes we grieve the Holy Spirit. And then we wonder why we can't be happy. What do you do, preacher, when you're grieving the Holy Spirit? Well, we grieve the Holy Spirit when we don't do things we should. I mean, when there's things that as Christians that we should do And the Holy Spirit even tells us sometimes, hey, this is what you ought to do. We don't do it. We grieve the Holy Spirit. Then we wonder how come sometimes we're not happy. We're not happy because we grieve the Holy Spirit. Folks, I want to encourage you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. If there's things in life that you're not doing, you should start doing them. Because the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He come to comfort us. He come to bring comfort in our lives. And the Bible teaches that we can grieve Him. And it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if the Holy Spirit's our comfort, and the Bible says we can grieve Him, we ought not want to grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 19. Verse number 19. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Let me say this, quench not your comfort. Quench not your comfort. You got comfort, don't quench it. Don't quench that comfort. The word quench there means to steer. It means to move. Don't move the Holy Spirit out of your life. And sin will do that. That's what sin will do. I said this so many times in my preaching, you can't have a Bible in one hand and a beer in the other one. One of them's going to give in. You can't have drugs in one hand and have a Bible in the other one. And if we don't watch it, we take what comforts, and because of sin, if we don't watch it, we will quench the Spirit. We'll quench the very thing that would bring us comfort. We'll quench it out of our lives. And so, God does that to comfort by His Holy Spirit. God's Holy Spirit wants to comfort us. That's what He wants for you. He wants to comfort us and you. Now, I've wrote this statement in. Let's give them something to work with. Let's give the Holy Spirit something to work with. Like, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. Don't quench the Spirit and just move them out of your life. Let's give them something to work with. He wants to comfort us today, and He will if we don't grieve Him and we don't quench Him. And so what else choices are they, preacher? If we don't quench Him and we don't grieve Him, we yield to Him. Say, I want to be comforted, preacher. Yield to the Holy Spirit. That's how you get comfort. That's how God gives comfort, through His Holy Spirit. Let me give you a third truth about it. God's comfort is in our needs the most. God's comfort in our needs the most. In other words, when we have the biggest problems in life, when we need the comfort the most, that's when it's available. Look with me back, if you would, at our text. Look at verse 4. He said, who comforted us in all our tribulations. I mean, I don't know where you are right now in life. Maybe you're at a point and you really need some comfort. You might be saying, preacher, I need comfort more today than I've ever needed in my life. I'm just going through everything in the world. Well, you know what? It's available. It's available as much today that it is any other time. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, preacher, everything's going pretty good. I think everything's all right. I can't complain about much. I mean, well, you might not need comfort in as much. But if you're here this morning and say, preacher, I tell you, my worlds are falling in. Well, God's comfort's available to you today. It's available to us. You said it was in all their tribulations, all their problems, in all their problems here. He gave them comfort. And He tells why? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. I remember I've shared this story before, and I'll make a brief story of it. But I had a friend of mine that was down and out. I don't remember. It seemed like it might have been along Christmas time, but he was a good friend of mine. He was down and out, and he was discouraged, and he had slacked off from coming to church. He wasn't coming to church much. By the way, I find a lot of people, when they start falling away from church, there's two reasons. One is sin, and sometimes it's because they get discouraged. And I remember going to my buddy and encouraging him, and I said, man, we've been missing you from church. Won't you go off with me? And he knew I was a door knocker. He knew I'd love to do that and go out and visit people and knock on doors, try to win souls. And I says, his name was Alan. I said, Alan, won't you go out with me? He said, oh, Brother Danny, I don't know if I could. He'd been having a lot of health problems. He'd got down in his back and was having a lot of health problems. And he said, I don't even know if I'm able to even do it. And I said, well, do me a favor. Go off with me at least. Spend 30 minutes with me next Saturday. Just go out with me 30 minutes. I was trying to help him, encourage him. He went out with me that Saturday, and I promise you, I've shared this story so many times. The first door I knocked on, a guy came to the door in a wheelchair, paralyzed from his chest down. He was paralyzed. And man had all kind of problems. I mean, diabetes, just everything. He had to go to dialysis, and we got up on the porch, and I found out the guy was saved, and my business was finished, but Alan came up there with me, and I left Alan talking to that guy, and they were comparing notes to how bad off they was. I went about and went on and knocked some doors. When I came back and got ready to go, was there a short time, Alan got in the car with me, and he said, you know what, Brother Danny? He says, I really thought I had some problems. He said, but you know what? I found out my problems is very little. Well, I tell you what, it's just like God got a hold of his heart that day. And I seen him, and anyways, he got encouraged that day, and he was able to help folks with back problems. He was able to encourage, all because someone encouraged him. By the way, he didn't get that encouragement from going with me. He got the encouragement from somebody else he saw that could be worse off. And folks, that's why we need to get encouraged so we can help others. And so, preacher, you don't know what I'm going through, though. No, I don't, but I do know who will go through them with you, and that's Jesus Christ. He'll give you comfort. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will give you comfort while you're facing problems. Number next, and I'm done. I said, when it comes to comfort, God is the resource. He does it by His Holy Spirit. God comforts in our needs the most. And then number four, so we can comfort others, and I just said this. One more story, and another story, and I'll be done. For years ago, when I first started pastoring a church, I had a guy that came with me. His name was Tim Bass. Y'all may have heard me talk about Tim before. Tim had lost a leg in the same kind of accident that Mason had. You remember Mason got his foot hung in one of those things? Tim Bass had lost a leg, one of these silos in the motor. He got his leg. But Tim had lost his leg. Tim was he was in my Sunday school class, and good friends of mine. I led him to the Lord, watched him get baptized, watched him grow, taught him. When I started the church, he got permission from the preacher of the church. Could he go with me and start the church with me? And he said, yes. Well, Tim would go with me, and he would ride the bus with me. We'd pick up people Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We'd go out and get folks and bring them to church. And there was something special about Tim. Tim had one leg, like I said, and he always walked like this. And he drug that leg. And when we got to the places to pick up the grown, by the way, we picked up a lot of grown-ups. It wasn't just kids. We picked up van loads of people. We'd get to a house, and I'd say, Tim, go get them. And he went to the door, and he knocked on the door. And I'd call it his bus ride. I'd say, Tim, this is your bus ride. It'll just light him up. And for years there, I watched him. 3 years, I'd watched him go to houses, and I tell you, people looked at him, and they saw the distress he was in, and he never complained. He never griped. He always bragged on how good God was to him. Never talked about his accident. Wouldn't even bring it up unless somebody brought it up to him. He'd always tell people how good God was, and how good, and people, I've had people come to me and said, wow, man, you know, if Tim can get out there and do that, you can get out and knock on doors and try to help people and try to live right. Surely we can. You know what? I saw Tim comfort so many people. Folks, today, God gives us comfort so we can comfort others. There's somebody out there today, might be in your family, might be in your neighborhood, might be at your place of work. I don't know, but there's somebody that you could be a comfort to. And as Christians, we're supposed to be. And that's, God gives us comfort, and He wants us to comfort others. And so we can comfort others by helping others to help, and it helps us, and we can help others. Look at verse 5 in our text. For as the suffering of Christ abound in us, so our consolations also abound by Christ. Christ's suffering continues in us, so our consolations, that means what help to cheer us. And what gives comfort, we can help others. And God is the author of that. He's the author of comfort. God can take a bad situation and He can make it good. Folks, today, we as Christians, we need to learn a little bit about this word comfort. Take what we heard today and exercise it. Comfort one another. This Christmas, I don't know what you're going through, but I can say this, God can help you through it. He's God of all comforts. Let's pray. Every head.